turn the remainder of the time over to our good friend, Networking Vice President for the State of Oregon, Mr. Mike Bishop!
Every day and every night, we'll be together.
With the room right over. A little Jamaican music there for you, a little Bob Marley. So first off, I don't know if you guys noticed my guests today noticed. Thank you for the support, by the way. New associates on the team, for my team, our team, Team Utah. They'll be showing up, I believe. So I played basketball my whole life, although I got cut my senior year. Didn't make the team. Ran some cross country and track. Played basketball. Still coach. In fact, missing a big tournament to be here with you guys. But 8 a.m. Sunday morning, I'm back at it on the bench as an assistant coach for my youngest daughter's team. But as things will happen, I've got a torn meniscus and a bone bruise. So if you see me limping around a little bit or I grab the chair at some point, that's why. All right? No sympathy. Still doing the deal. I'm fine. Just a little bit of pain once in a while. So this is not Dave shooting me in the knee at any point. Okay? So I like to really talk to you guys. One thing I always like to train on is what to say. There's two things we need to figure out in this business, in my opinion. Number one is what do we say, and number two is how do we think, right? That'll lead to our actions. I mean, there's what we do, but what we do is based on what we decide to do and how we think and the words and the actions. So really activity comes under those two things, how we think, what we say. And how many people have ever struggled or have any issue with what to say to explain Legal Shield to somebody? You can raise your hand, be honest. All right, pretty much everybody at some degree, sometime or another. So let me give you one phrase that I find works every time, in every situation, no matter what. You'll want to write this down. It's actually a little bit complicated. Okay, are you ready? Have you heard of Legal Shield? You know, how do you announce it? How do you present it? How do you share it with people? In my opinion, that's it. Have you heard of Legal Shield? Which I think is important because it finds out where they're at. It's really critical. One of the most important things you can do, and I believe the answers are in the questions. So as many questions as you can ask folks, you know, as much as you can find out about them, the more you can meet their needs. And frankly, the more they feel listened to, the more they, you know, it's amazing. You sit next to somebody on a plane and they do all the talking. They think you're a very interesting person, right, because you've asked them a lot of questions. You know, so that's one thing, one phrase that kind of gets started is, have you heard of Legal Shield? Now, if you were out and about in the community, it doesn't always work that way. Maybe you need a few other little things to talk about. So let me ask you a question. This is kind of a little, almost like a fear exercise in a way. How many people think that they are not afraid to talk to somebody about Legal Shield? How many people they are afraid from time to time to talk to somebody about Legal Shield? Okay. What if, let me ask you this question. What if 100% of the people that you talk to said yes? Raise your hand, give me a number. How many people do you think you would talk to in a day if everybody you talk to said, yes, I want to join your business, yes, I want to be a member? Just raise your hand, give me a number. What do you think? I need a number. Everybody isn't everybody. 50. Who else? 100 people in a day. Who else? You guys are good between 50 and 100? Do you think those are reasonable numbers? Now, okay. So we don't eat. We don't sleep. We don't talk to our kids or parents, right? We just talk to people all day and sign them all up. Maybe. But those are good numbers. It's like, isn't it amazing how your numbers get really, really big if you feel like everybody said yes? Well, the question then is, if you could do 50... if everybody said yes, why aren't you? If you could do 100, if everybody said yes, what if half the people said yes? Wouldn't you still want to talk to 100 people in a day or 50 people in a day? Right? What if 100 people, 100% of the people you talked to said yes, what would your numbers be? And if you're not talking to that number of people, then there's a reason you're not doing that. And if it's because they might say no, then we need to confront that. Is that fair? right? This is really a unique, I think, way to think of it. So what if 100 people said yes? Okay. How many would you sit down with, right? That's the question. I know that you'll see me do that a lot. I know the presentation well enough because I wrote it, but I'll be ahead of the thing. So what if it was 50%? What if it was 25%? Would you still talk to 100 people? Would you still talk to 50 people? Would you still talk to 25 people? The question is, why not? Right? Well, are you really afraid of no's? I've checked. I've never bled from any orifices or got a cut on my body because somebody said no to me. Right? So if you could do it, if they said yes, my question would be, why don't you, even if a few say no? It's because a couple things are going to happen, right? You're going to find people who are desperate for legal help and advice, to make extra money, just because you went through the numbers. Because you didn't say, well, they may say yes, they may say no, I'll just hold off, I'll wait, I'm too busy, whatever. You'll also get better at what you do. And I think that's a critical component that we realize it when it's brought up, but we don't always think about, like, if you don't feel like you're that good, sure, a little bit of training, things like that, but ultimately the best thing you can do is just do it. You will figure it out. It can't be that complicated. Too many people are having success with what we're doing. So, as Jim Rohn says, a ratio will appear. So fill your pipeline with exposures, build your list, follow up, use the system. Keep in mind, too, I didn't say would sign up immediately. I just said would sign up. And so a lot of times that's what we think. They'd say yes. Well, I didn't say they'd say yes immediately. What if 25% of the people you talked to said yes eventually? How many people would you talk to? Right? Now, if you're looking at it that way, is there any reason you shouldn't make Performance Club? Right? There really isn't. I mean, if you knew it took 5 people to say yes at one level or another to make Performance Club, and you knew your closing ratio was 25%, then you need to talk to 20 people in a month to hit that number. Is it worth talking to 20 people to get an extra $300 a month, plus commissions, plus the potential of building an associate and have the next Dave Paul on your team? Would that be okay? It would be amazing, right? So I hope you guys put that in perspective. I like to kind of start with that to get over your fear. So there are 4 groups of people when we get started, help somebody get started in their business. This is true for us. This is true for the people we get started. Number one, it's the people you know. Raise your hand if you know somebody. Congratulations, you can do this business, right? That doesn't have to be in Legal Shield. How many people know somebody outside of Legal Shield? Exactly, okay. So this is where we start. You know, there are people that, and there's different levels of that. You know, people you kind of know, you've seen before, you haven't talked to a long time, people you know very well, people who do things for you, people you've done things for. So that's a great best place to start, is the people that you already know. Next question. How many people think that they know people, right? They have relatives, they have friends, they have people in their network, things like that. And so that's where I think it takes the pressure off. Because now, especially when you're working with somebody, I'll never lose you a friend or a family member. And besides, we explain it so they understand it. They may know somebody that we can really, really help. Right? I mean, the couple that's out here, her sister lives up in the Portland area, and they've got 3 kids. And she's like, I bet those kids could really use this service. I'm like, absolutely. You know, so who they know takes the pressure off. This may or may not be for you, but you may know somebody we can help. Can I sit down with you for 15, 20 minutes and show you who we are and what we do? If I sent you a video that's about 12 minutes long, would you watch the whole thing all the way through and report back to me any questions or what your opinion is? And I'm willing to ask somebody's opinion up front. Right? When it's done, we'll say, what did you like best? But to get their opinion, it's a matter of sometimes kind of playing up to their ego a little bit. Oh, they want my opinion. Sure. I'm doing a marketing survey, a marketing test. I'd like to, oh, we have the new questionnaires in the back. I haven't worked with them a lot, but there's a questionnaire form that you can send out to people. It's about 2 minutes. And, you know, people don't mind filling out an evaluation to see if there's, especially skeptical people. They kind of want to prove that it's not going to be for them. And then they find out, if they look at it, oh, you know what, I really could use this. So those type of things are very effective. And again, going to the people they know. How many people have ever met somebody before? Great, you can do this business. Right? I mean, when you consider that we meet people all the time, right? Sometimes it's maybe asking the right question, putting the right perspective with folks, but there's people you can meet. How exciting is that when you consider there's people we can meet and then there's people that they know? Oh, I ran out of people to talk to in this business. Really? Really? Everybody in the world, you know? Have you gone through 25 people and said, who do you know that are motivated, that might like to protect their assets, protect their identity? If you ask 25 people who they know, half of them are going to say, well, I might be interested. What do you want to share with my people I know? Well, let me show you. Well, and try to make it a good 15-minute full exposure presentation. So we will never run out of people. So the people you know, the people they know, the people you can meet, and the people they know. Isn't that exciting? I mean, that's what our business is built on. My dad would have to, buy paper to print stuff. That was our inventory. Every business generally has to have inventory. In our business, our inventory is people. Is this. This is our inventory. The people we know, the people we can meet, the people they know. That's our inventory. That's what we put through production. That's what we use to just move through the system. I coach my folks to get started. I mentioned it to Don, his wife, today. Just imagine a funnel. Just be a funnel filler. Just be a funnel filler. Fill the funnel. Let the funnel work its magic, using tools, using events, using three-way calls. Just fill the funnel. Just put people in the funnel. Okay, so we're out in the public, and we'd like to meet some people. But we'd like to do it in a way that positions ourselves as not somebody who's begging, not somebody who's trying to get somebody to do that. I know when I ran across somebody who said, oh, yeah, somebody tried to get me to do that legal shield thing a while back, that they did it wrong. I want to have the position to where I'm not trying to get them to do something. I'm trying to get them to look and then make an informed decision, right? My job is to help you understand it. Your job is to tell me how it fits for you. Is that okay? Can you let me do my job, right? Or for new people, I'm in training right now. And my job is to share with people what our company's about. Hey, Amanda, be for you. I'm in training right now. I just have to share this with 10 people. I'm running for a goal. I'm working on a project to help take my wife and I to an event. It's all expense paid. I'm really excited about it. My job is to simply share this with 20 people. Would you be one of my 20? I mean, are those pretty low-key? And if they say no, they say no. But people like to help people. Would you agree? Right? If they think there's something in for you, and that's their first question and that's answered, then they don't have to worry about prejudging whether it's something for them, right? They're willing to get the information just to help you out. No obligation, right? I mean, I figured out that I remember thinking at one point in my business, and these aren't the numbers, but let's just say they're the numbers. Back to that original slide. If we had to ask 10 people to take a look in order to show one, and we had to show 10 people in order to get one, and we had to, again, these aren't the numbers, but we had to bring in 10 people to find one that was a leader, but that leader earned $100,000 and created $40,000, $50,000 to me as a family member, for my family. If I talked to, if it took me 300, 400 people to find a couple leaders, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay. I will ask. Because here's the other, and I teach a lot of my insurance people to do what I call, this is not in this training, but what I talk about is 30 seconds, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. 33:15. A lot of professionals are used to a long sales cycle. And they tend to think that if they're going to sell a legal plan, they don't have time to do it because they're equating the full sales process of what they do, or that everybody they talk to is going to take 20 to 30 minutes to find out if they say yes or no, if they're even a prospect, right? Because that's what it takes. Like if someone's going to sell a mortgage, they've got to run the numbers, they've got to do this, they've got to do that, they've got to compete, da-da-da-da-da. We don't have to do any of that. We just got to show them so they understand it, and we have to find out if they're even a prospect. So 30 seconds, a couple key questions. Have you heard of Legal Shield? Have you had your will updated recently? Do you like the idea of protecting your driving record? something I could show you. It'd take about 15 minutes. Would you be interested? Now, I say, you know, 2 or 3 minutes next, because sometimes it takes two or three. So number one, oh, you know what? I've got a family of attorneys. I hate attorneys anyway. I don't want to deal with your attorneys. I don't, you know, we never get traffic tickets, or we've got our will done, or, you know, yeah, I would teach them to switch up a little bit. What do you have for your identity theft protection? Oh, yeah, we've got three companies that do that. We're good. Da, 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 da. Just take 30 seconds to find out if they're a prospect. Right? That's all you need to do. Just, I would rather have you talk to 10 people for 30 seconds to find out if they're a prospect than talk to only one because you think it's going to take an hour to talk to them. Okay? 30 seconds, then 3 minutes. Just do a quick 3-minute overview. You know, and I like to start with, you know how. You know how legal services are expensive? Right? You guys can tell, I tend to lead with the membership. Generally, I like to market the membership and then bring on the associate. I know other people have different philosophies. Certainly, you can switch that, and we can talk about some language. In fact, this next part is specifically about recruiting and filling that pipeline. But anyway, so on filling the pipeline. So 3 minutes. You guys can all talk 3 minutes on how the membership works and why it works, right? The need for the service, you know, a couple little benefits you think might fit that person. Now the 3 minutes in, then you usually know whether they're willing to get more information, check more, see more. That 15 minutes can be a video, a cup of coffee, because you can do the 30 seconds, 3 minutes right on the phone, frankly, too, leading them to the next exposure. Or you can send them a video, the Don Thompson 11.5-minute video in your back office of just the membership, or the Justin Peterson, a 12-minute video on the business opportunity, the business side, or Brian Carruthers, 20 minutes. Darnell Selfhouse went too with the PowerPoint, all that stuff. But you've got to get your mind to 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds. How can I, you know, talk to a bunch of people, 50 people in a day, to find 25 that'll say they'll look, 20 that'll actually look, and 10 will get the membership? I've marketed 10 memberships in a day. It is a good day in the Bishop household when you market 10 memberships in a day, right? And not just in group. I mean, I've done it literally like out and about, meeting people one, boom, 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 you know, one after the other type of thing. So, and the other thing that happens is your pipeline gets so full that while they're not saying yes immediately, how many people ever got a call from somebody out of the blue that you showed a membership to a while back and now they're ready to go? Look around the room. I mean, a bunch of people, all right? I'm suggesting if you're in the business and you're working in the business and you're not getting that, you know, maybe there's some tweaks that need to happen, but it'll happen because it should be happening. They're not ready, not quite ready. So how many people say, no, I don't want this membership and I'm never going to get it ever again, ever? That doesn't really happen. Oh, that's very interesting. I need to think about it. I need to kind of decide. I need to weigh. I need to pray on it, whatever. I would say, look, I prayed on it. God told me you should sign up. I don't always say that, actually. God said someone's coming across somebody who couldn't quite make a decision and needed a membership today anyway. That's why I'm here. God sent me. All right. That is funny. I should really do that sometime. Oh, God actually sent me to share the membership with you, and I feel like he's telling me you should sign up. All right. All right. So, we're out and about. One thing I do, a quick little thing before we get fully into this. I like to put, CID on my bank card or credit card. Just got this one. It's pretty cool. Look at that. No numbers on the front, on the back. Anyway, CID on all my credit cards. So that way, you pay for something, they go, hey, may I see your ID? And you say, I'm so glad you asked. You can't be too careful about identity theft these days. Does that open a potential conversation? Now look, somebody may go, yeah, right, I know. And they may not be a prospect, right? They are obviously happy in their cage, right? There are people happy in their cage. That's fine, right? And I don't mean to be negative about, like, you got to have a job, yes. Want to pay your bills, yes. Happy, yes. I enjoy my career, fine, great. Want something more? Here's the key to unlock. And you can jump out, jump back in, jump out, Because I understand, too, while there's no security in a job, one person could say no, there's also no minimum with Legal Shield. I get that, right? There's no, here's your salary. We're going to pay you more than the value you're delivering while you learn how to deliver value to our company. Right? In other words, with a job, you know, you're getting paid more than you're producing for the company for the first 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months. But eventually, you better be producing more value to that company than they are paying you, or they will not be paying you. Right? Right. So it's always about value delivered in the marketplace. Jim Rohn taught us that, right? With Legal Shield, you're brand new, you need help, you're moving up, you've only written 3 memberships, just not enough value in the marketplace to pay your bills yet. Totally get that. Defensive entrepreneurship, doing something on the side to support growth even outside your job. So, but in these terms right now, we're going to go with getting people free. Is that okay with everybody? Can we talk about it? All right. So, CID, can't be too careful about identity theft these days. They say, a lot of times, you know, oh, I know, my brother-in-law, it happened to me, or it happened to my sister, or somebody here at work, or we lost something, da, da, da. Oh, really? You know, our company does that. We help people with the best identity theft products in the nation. Have you heard of ID Shield? Right? Now, it's quick. It's going to not be long because you're at, you know, at a restaurant, you're at a any place, you know, you're paying, you're in line sort of, but that's where the app can come in so handy. Hey, can I get you some information on identity theft protection? What's your email address? Always ask for the email address first, or what's your name? That's a great place to start, because once you start entering in, they generally know. But if you get the name, the email is usually pretty easy. Most people only give their email. Once they give you email, there's like a social contract, and now they're like committed, they'll give you your phone number. Usually. Not always, but usually. Right? So another way to approach it is, hey, give them a compliment. You've got great customer service skills. Question I like to ask is, how long have you worked here? Easy, innocuous, socially fits. How long have you worked here? Right? They'll usually tell you, you know, 3 days, 3 years, 30 years, whatever it is. You must love it. Great one. And there's a little science or psychology behind. They get to tell you it's not so good because when you're assuming it's good. Right? Oh, you must love it. Well, it's a job. Yeah, it's okay. Or, you know, the people here are fun. Or, you know, maybe get me out. I get that from time to time. And if they say they like it, you know, yeah, I've been here about 6 years. It's pretty good. Are you planning on retiring here? Right? In other words, see, because my team will tell you, I can be pretty direct from time to time. And it comes off as a little bit intimidating, being 6'5", 2", a little intimidating. So I've learned to, again, ask the kind of questions that lead to the result without directly asking the question. In other words, this is all leading to, would you be open to looking at my business? But if I approach somebody and say, hey, would you be open to looking at my business? Uh-uh. But if I lead them to the direction, how long have you worked here? 3 years. And I'm opening social conversation. You must love it. Well, yeah, it's okay. Are you planning on retiring here? No. Now, what have they basically said? Their options are open. This is not their final career path. This is not what they're going to be doing for the rest of their life. Okay? So I'm expanding my business in this area. I've exposed a need or an option, and then I'm expanding my business in this area. Give them a possible solution. Give them an interest what we're doing. You got a card? No, I am a waitress at Denny's. I do not have a card. However, I have this cute little pencil behind my ear and this little pad of paper I'm writing on all day. Right? Let me write down my information. I've gotten that. You know that you're at the cash register? No, what are you doing? Well, have you heard of Legal Shield? Or, I mean, sometimes I'll say that if I feel like I have a little time. Otherwise, I'm like, listen, you're at work. We don't have a lot of time to explain it. Let me just get your name and number, email address, and I'll send you some information. Right? The slide, like, don't let my boss see this. Which I'll never understand how companies can assume that they should be the only way you get paid in life. This idea that you can't work somewhere else. Now, I understand to a degree, like, if you have two jobs and it conflicts with the original job and then there you can't work, whatever. But this idea that you can't do a business on the side that some employers put on people, I'm like, that would be a reason why I will not work for you. Because there is no way you're going to tell me and my family where we get to go on vacation or where we get to, you know, what kind of lifestyle we have to have. I just, anyway, my own personal hang up. So, you got a card is a great question. Or, so I work with Legal Shield. Have you heard of it? It's a great place to start. Sometimes they want to know a little bit. Oh, darn it. Sometimes they want to know a little bit before you're willing. This might be a little bit older version. Because I've got, so, again, pull out the app, right? At that point, you got a card. Sometimes I'll say that, and then I'll take it, and I'll write it down. Or sometimes we have a little more time. I'm like, hey, fill this out. You know, I don't want to fat finger this and get it wrong. Here, name, phone number, email. Let me send you some information. Are you willing to get some information? Are you willing to look? You know, if they already said, I'm not going to retire here. I don't really, you know, my job's okay. And what, you know, and you're expanding your business. You seem like a nice person. You seem like you're sharp. You must have money. You're buying from me right now. You know, I'd be interested in finding out what you're doing. Okay? 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Right? 3 minutes. Find out enough about them to find out and share enough about us to see if they're going to do it. And then the 15 minutes. It's important that we be normal. Right? Please do not be the Legal Shield freak. Oh, let me tell you about this legal thing. It's like bread. You got to get it. Everybody's got it. You got to be, you know, you hate attorneys, right? Everybody hates attorneys. We got attorneys. You're going to love our attorneys. They're so amazing. Identity theft is probably going to ravish you and your family and your kids. You got to get it. You got to come on board. You make enough money, right? You want to make more money? Let's make more money. We're going to make a bunch of money together. Come on board. Right? Come on. First week. You know you did it. You know you did it. So easy to do. It's interesting to have to have, you know, you want to be excited and exciting. Exciting means how you're getting them excited, right? You know, paint a vision. So, number one, we got to be a professional friend maker. Okay? Be a professional friend maker. Make friends for a living. Are you going to go out in the world and make friends with people? Number two, get them to ask you. Here's a great way, another way to do it. You're different social situation. You're at a, at a plane or someplace sitting down next to somebody who you've not met. You got a little bit of time, or you're at a club or a, you know, a sporting event, something like that. Ask them what they do for a living. Okay, there's a little social rule that says the law of reciprocity. Which basically means if you do something for somebody else, they're going to tend to do it for you. And that's true in conversation as well. When you ask them a question, that's kind of license for them to ask you a question. So if you ask them, what do you do for a living? They'll tell you and tell you a little bit about it. You can find out a little bit more and you ask a couple questions. But 9 times out of 10, what are they going to ask you? What do you do for a living, right? I'm so glad you asked. And then that's where we do not do the technical throw up all over them about Legal Shield, right? And then you need to figure out your 10, 15 second synopsis that will draw them in. Have you heard of Legal Shield? Well, we show people how to protect their rights, protect their assets through technology. Really giving group buying power to what has been $200 to $300 an hour. Most people, you know how most people are locked out of the legal system? We make it affordable for people. The second thing, have you ever heard of it? What do you know about it? Have you had your will updated? You know, I don't always start with the will updated question, it tends to depend, but if I'm not going anywhere else, I can always go back to. And do not ask them if they have a will. They'll lie to you and tell you they do, right? Do the assumption so they can correct you, right? Because they're on defense a lot of times if they feel like you're kind of pitching them or whatever. Have you had your will updated recently? No, I don't even have a will. Damn it. Got me, right? When you're out with your friends and your friends, and certainly your team's friends and family, again, be normal. It's important to, it's a step-by-step process. It's not a jump to the end. It's a process of know, like, and trust. It's a process of asking the questions to expose their need, their desires, how we can help and solve their problems. things like that. Okay? Any questions over any of that? Does that all make sense so far? Is that some language you guys feel like you can use? Okay. Sure. So, where do you work? Mortgage lender? Fantastic. How long have you been doing it? About a year so far. Okay. Do you love it? Fantastic. Good. So, listen, have you heard of Legal Shield before? You have heard of it. What do you know about it? Psst. Okay. Play along with me. We're doing a role play, so I'm giving you the language that I'm going to use. Yeah, okay. So, you know very little, right? You know very little. Okay. So 30 seconds or less, right? Well, you know how expensive attorneys can be, right? But you know how it's important that we get legal help and legal advice. So I'll say that one more time. You know how expensive attorneys can be. But you know it's important to get good legal help and legal advice. So our company has set up through technology, and I've been using that lately because, you know, we're on a lead them towards the app. Our company has set up a way through technology to really provide folks like you access and protection from top quality law firms without worrying about the high hourly cost. Right? Without worrying about the high hourly cost. There's an emotion in that. There's a feeling. Remember, people buy on emotion more than fact. I don't start out with 45 years in business. I don't start out. Now, my next, so if you're writing bullet points, next is credibility. I like to start with the need for the client first, okay, and the need in our marketplace generally. And then I like to go to credibility, because that's going to be kind of their next question, right? Well, I've never heard of this thing. How good is it really? And that's where you fill in your top 2 to 3 facts, right? And I use facts even though it really goes back to feeling, because they need to feel like it's credible. Whether it's A-plus rated Better Business Bureau, 45 years in business, 4.5 million people across the country. I've helped hundreds. I've helped thousands, whatever it is. There needs to be a credibility factor. So is that clear so far? Do you feel like you're on top? You guys feel like, yeah, quick, was there, do you want to repeat something? Or? Yes, 46, whatever. Yeah, I don't want to get too tied up in the, just credibility, right? And then, a lot of times I will, and at this point I'm kind of reading people. Like I might read you, I might say, does that make sense? Or, you know, the real question I like to a lot of times finish is, how would that feel? So what's her name? Rebecca? Yeah, we're still playing along here, Rebecca. Right? So we give people the ability to get legal help and legal advice without worrying about the higher hourly cost. How would that feel? That'd be great, right? Could we sit down for about 15 minutes and I could show you how the whole thing works? Are you open-minded? Do you like to look at new things and evaluate new ways to maybe help your clients? Fantastic. Well, let's sit down. Is right now a good time, or would you like to set a time to sit down for coffee? I can come by your office, whatever. Okay. Let's get out our phones and let's make an appointment. Right? And now, as we're going through this, let me give you guys something I learned in the life insurance industry on how to make appointments. There's a real powerful sales tool called Alternative Choice. Or alternative choice close. And here's how I had to use it. My wife works about 20, 25 hours a week as a chiropractor, right, running her business. She works about 40 hours a week with the community. She's going in as president of the Rotary. She's been president of the PTSA, da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, but when we were getting our businesses started, she was like 2 years in the chiropractic business when I started Legal Shield. So there was some, you know, she'd have a good month, I'd have a bad month. We had 2 kids that were, you know, my first two daughters are 15 months apart. And so we would do the baby swap, right? Like, I'm home taking care of the kids. She gets off work. She comes home. Here you go. I'm out the door, right? Or now I'm up in the office making appointments. So I had to make appointments around her schedule. And what I learned in making a schedule is giving people 2 choices. so they feel like they have a choice, but really you're directing the conversation. So I'm talking to an HR person, talking to somebody who's looking at being in business with me. Hey, listen, I got a little bit of time next week. Are Tuesdays or Thursdays better for you? Right? Or Tuesdays, okay. And I might say morning or afternoon, but Tuesday I only have, like Thursday I have the morning, Tuesday I have the afternoon. So if it's Tuesday, I'll say, would 2 o'clock or maybe 4 o'clock work better for you? Right after lunch or right, you know, right before you leave or whatever, or 5 o'clock, whatever. At that point, they say, well, you know what, 5:30, come by the office. I'm usually wrapped up, but I usually don't leave here until 6. Great. And that fits for me, right? But using that alternative choice to set an appointment will help get you more appointments 9 times out of 10. If you leave it up to them, that's too much power for them, that they may say, can you see me in 3 weeks? No, that's after performance club deadline. I can't. Just kidding. Not really. And you know what? Sometimes it is 3 weeks. And in the business world, I actually suggest an appointment out 2 or 3 weeks. An HR person will never meet with you that week. They generally won't meet with you the week after the week. But would you agree? Yeah. You know, personal one-on-ones, usually they're not quite so busy, whatever. If you offer them coffee, a lot of times, you know, can we get together this week, Tuesdays or Thursdays, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock? What would work better for you? Okay? So that's how I would get into that. Does that make sense? Is that the kind of language you feel like you got stuff? Yeah. And again, and here's the last thing I would encourage you. Come up with your own script. Come up with your own little language. It'll fit better for you, right? This is just worked for me over the years that I've kind of got. If you like mine, great. It never goes exactly the same way. And that's why I tend to use if you start with the concepts, though, the concepts are pretty critical. The need for them, that they have an interest, the credibility of the company, that it's something they can, you know, would invest their time to see. Okay? All right. Any questions on any of that? Anything else? You're good? Well, yeah, it's not always the first question. Like, how do you really, well, look, talk sports and weather. You know, hey, man, wow, it's been hot out here. Yeah, here's what I find. Some people go, yeah, pretty hot. Other people are like, oh, yeah, I know what you mean, man. I can't believe it. I was up in the mountains the other day, and, oh, so cool. You get that, right? I mean, people are nice here. You guys know that, right? Not like southern nice, where they're nice in front of you, but talk behind your back, right? Not like Minnesota nice, where they're way over the top being nice, but really they're just doing it because they feel like that's what they're supposed to do. Utah, they're real nice, I think. Right? You're looking for people with a smile on their face, that are friendly, that are I look for people that are chatting to somebody else. You're in a group, you see people you can, and you can just tell, right? You can pick up the social cues, like they don't really know each other, but they're just kind of chit-chatting away, like we do in the supermarket, and we do at games and other things. You're at some kind of event, a concert. People are talking about the concert, da-da-da-da-da. You know, and then you got to, so you start that, and about the time you're about halfway through, you wait till the end, like, okay, see you later. Okay, yeah, nice, good chat. Wait, by the way, a little awkward, right? So usually there's that couple minutes sort of interaction you have with people. Go about a minute, and you go, you know, by the way, so it's a couple openers, I'm working on a project. I don't know if it would be for you, but I think that you are super friendly. I think that you are really sharp, or, you know, we're looking for people that love to go to concerts and have a good time. My business is expanding. What are they going to ask you?
What do you do?
I'm glad you asked. I'm expanding my business, working with a company called Legal Shield. Have you heard of it? Right? Yeah. So, you know, look, it's not always easy. It takes a little bit of effort, but you got to ask yourself, you know, how bad do you want to go on the trips? How bad do you want to get performance club? And you'll find people that are like, it will be feedback. It's just all feedback. I guess that's what I'm just trying to say. It's all just feedback. If you get somebody and they're like shut down all of a sudden, they're having a bad day. I put it on them. If you get somebody that's like maybe a little more aggressive, we're at a concert, dude. I'm just talking here and you're trying to talk to me about some project or something like that, man. What? Then you know maybe you didn't do it right. Or maybe it's still them. Whatever. Move on. You know? Here's the thing that happens. is if you do it enough, you will get no weary. You will. It's easy to talk to five people, get one yes, feel like a success. It's hard to talk to 20 people, get five yeses and 15 no's. It feels like, oh my God, I'm doing something wrong. But your numbers are the same, right? That's what I try to point out to you guys, is that the numbers can be the same. Just the more you do, it can feel like it's harder. It's not any harder, other than you're just putting in more effort and you actually will get more results. Okay? Yes. Yep. Couple of things. First off, you need to have a conversation with your family. Mom's not going to be here hanging out at the house every night. Okay. So, yeah, and your husband's supporting him. I met him yesterday, right? So, will you be willing to get up early and go to a networking event at 7:30 in the morning if you have to go to work by 9? Will you be willing to find a lunch space and can you make it somewhere with a 5-minute to 10-minute drive during your lunch hour? Are you willing to go to a networking after hours? So those are options. And when anybody I run across that's professional just wants to get in contact touch with more people, if you show up to every other one, but you call them during the weekends and go, hey, I'm part of this group, you're part of this group. So that's one option. Another, either instead of or addition to, do you have any hobbies or interests? What do you like to do? Hiking. Okay, are there hiking clubs? Bingo. Bingo. Right? We were driving back, and there's a sign that said climbing. And there's a dozen people standing around getting ready to go climbing. Right? That's a club. Those are social people. Those are interact. We played soccer for years. You know, it's tricky. And look, my thing is I never want to be that guy, the network marketer who approaches everybody, tries to sell them and pitch them, da-da-da-da-da. I want to be an example of living life to the fullest and be that and have that be attractive to people. But I need to let them know that a service like this exists, and I use the 30 seconds to see if I can get to 3 minutes, to see if I can get to 15 minutes. Right? So that's the trick. Because if you approach that hiking club with, I'm going to do 15 minutes for everybody here, they're going to invite you to leave. Right? I mean, maybe not. You're nice. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're the 15-minute person at social gatherings and events, it's going to be awkward. If you're the 30-second person that tries to draw them in and ask them the questions, and they're just going through the numbers, you're a professional. That's what professionals do, right? Do not be in the Secret Service, right? Be in the service of others. So you find out if there's an interest and find out if we can, okay. I don't want to belabor the point, but does that make sense? And that's a great question. I hope that helps everybody. You will find people that join your organization that say they don't know anybody, right? I mean, the gentleman here, I tried to do this, I tried to do that. We'll have to try this. Okay, I could try that. Might be the fit. You never know. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk a little, get close to set up for philosophy here. Why are you here today? Go ahead and write it down. What's your why to be here, this event? Mr. Hall, what time did we start? What time am I shooting for? Okay. So help me do the math. 3:15? No. 2. Somebody help me do the math. 1:45. 2:45. 3:15. Hour and a half. 3:15. Yeah, I'm right. I'm on schedule. Okay. It's 1:10 now, so we've got about 45 more minutes. Right. Okay. All right. So. Why are you here today? Anybody want to share? Now that you've written it down? Yes, sir. Okay. Great. Great. So I believe you want to gain the competitive advantage. Like, I look at life somewhat as a competition. like, the good news is it's not a zero-sum game with legal skill. In other words, I can do well doesn't keep somebody else from doing well. Just because I win doesn't mean somebody else loses, right? It's not that kind of competition. But I need to feel like I can compete with myself. I can, you know, I'm working hard. I need to do things that other people won't do so I can have what other people won't have, right? They can, we got more room here, right? But I come to these events, I go to the events because I want a lot for my family and I want a lot for other people's family, so I want to gain the advantages from being in places like this. So ask yourself, what are your strengths? Go ahead and write a couple of those down. What are your strengths? What are you good at? What do you enjoy doing? What puts a smile on your face? If you could do anything all day and money was not an issue, what would it be? Race cars? Race cars around the world. Fantastic. Are you doing a little of that? I didn't ask if you're doing a lot. I asked if you're doing a little. Not a little right now. Okay. Are there some clubs or things like that you could possibly be involved in? Okay. But it feels like you don't have the time to do it. Right. I totally get it. But here's the thing. And this goes to living legendary. Creating that time and working your business around it can give you both pleasure and business growth. Right? So, you know, that's why I asked, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do? Find that. Do that. How freeing is that? Right? Because normally, so many times when we're taught, like, society, you have a job and then that way you can go do fun stuff. And what I'm saying is make Legal Shield part of your fun stuff. Make a part of it. How freeing, how cool is that to be able to do that, you know? So ask yourself, what are your strengths? I think that should help you determine your business model, your personal business model. What do you need to work on? What could you be better at? Here's where I find challenges. Here's where I keep running against obstacles. Here's where I let stop me. Think about that. Write that down. What could you be better at? A little harder one. Anybody want to share? You're kind of raising your eyebrow. That almost counts. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll work on my closing.
Okay. I'm getting people to make a positive buying decision. It's a longer word than closing, but I don't know why I just don't like the word. I think opening in a lot of ways, right? But yes. So some language to help people make a decision. Do you want me to share mine, a couple of mine with you? Actually, I'm pissed that the company took away the $10 setup fee. So, just kidding, not really. But that was my closing. I used to say, I'd go through the whole thing and I'd say, oh, by the way, here's the catch. All good things come with the catch, right? There's a one-time $10 setup fee. That shouldn't break you, right? Most of it is a checking, savings, or credit card. Usually a checking account, what would work best for you? Okay, so it's an example of an alternative choice close. So I usually ask, do you like the idea? Does it make sense to you? I want to get little buy-in so I can get the full buy. Do you like it? Does it make sense to you? Can you see the advantage of getting your will done? You mentioned you had kids. Do you want to, the idea of protecting the driver? Can you see how that works? Did anybody show you the app again? No, I understand. Yeah, that does make sense. Okay. So here's some questions you can use. Is there anything else you need to know before you get started? That's more on the recruiting side. You can still ask. You know, you can explain. Most people use a checking or credit card. That's how we keep our rates low. And that's how we keep your membership on a month-to-month basis. There's no long-term contract. There is no risk. The only reason you keep the membership is if you like it. I think that's one of the strongest closings because people are worried. They want to look out for what's wrong. And you say it's month to month. Now, if you just say it's month to month, that's fine. But again, I want to kind of add that value in that most people keep it. But we don't hold your contract hostage. It's month to month. What would work best? And again, that alternative choice. Or you can ask, where do you want your, you can't ask that anymore. Say, where do you want your membership kit sent? But one is, oh, by the way, we only need the last four of your social, not your whole social. Right? Or is this the phone number I have for you? Is that the best number? That's 801. All right, or today's date. That's 7. Right? If you're writing on it, that's, I frankly still use membership applications. Caitlin Blanchard, who's like the trainer for the millennial movement, he's like, I have never written a paper app. And I'm like, I've never signed up somebody online. No, I'm just kidding. I have. I do all the time. But and maybe it would be different. Like, if you say, okay, you like the idea, does it make sense to you? Great, let me pull up my app real quick. And da-da-da-da-da. You know, once you start doing that, once you grab a pen and an application, one or two things happen. They say yes or they say not now. Right? So use it in a way that, like, they get a small agreement, small agreement, small agreement, small agreement. Choose how they'd like to get it. Let's get it. Right? Or small agreement, small agreement. How do I get over the hump? Start writing on an application. Ask them the date. Ask them to make sure they spell the name correctly. Things like that. Business side, you know, recruiting side, how much money do you think you want to make in your first few months, a month, if you give, you know? And I usually say about $500 to $1,000 because I want to plant the seed, like, to be realistic. Because if you don't, they go, oh, as much as I can, unlimited, you know? I mean, they don't sort of get it. And so how many hours are you willing to work a week to achieve that? How many months would you give it? Okay, if I could show you a plan to make $1,000 a month, within the next 3 months, working 10 hours a week, is there anything else you need to know to get started? Okay. And then finally, visualize your success. Really see what it looks like. Man, I'll never forget my senior year, day I graduated, I wrote out a whole little plan for my life, including white picket fence. And my girlfriend, about a year later in college, saw it and literally made fun of me for writing that down. I'm like, bye-bye. Just kidding. I had a financial planner. God, I'd love to find her. Carrie Brink. I remember her name. I should look her up. I wonder if she's still a financial planner. I mean, I was 30 years old, year and a half into Legal Shield. Told her I want to retire on between $10,000 a month by the time I'm 50. Have that money in a retirement account. She's like, I mean, I literally remember her scoffing. You're trying to get me as a client, and you would scoff at what my dream is for what I want to accomplish for my kids. And, you know, I didn't have kids at the time, but for my family, for my future. Yeah, we're not doing business, right? Well, guess what? It may not be in retirement income, but it is in mostly passive income, right? I need, you know what? Call Carrie Brink. Okay. I'm going to find her. Oh, by the way, my financial planner really likes me now. So, and I use that for visualization because sometimes it takes a negative to push the positive, right? Use that stuff, man. I mean, any slight, doesn't professional athletes do that all the time, right? They feel like they're slighted. You know, they got drafted 10th instead of 3rd, and they just hate all the teams that went 1 through 9 that year. Whatever it is, I mean, I'd say use that stuff to fuel your fire, you know? I mean, because, look, we're motivated by two things, pleasure and pain. Pain is a much stronger motivator. The avoidance of bad things is a stronger motivator than the pleasure of good things, right? When we're in the cave, we only went out to hunt food because we had to eat. We did not go out to go swimming to have fun, right, in the cave because it was bad, dangerous out there. You needed to protect yourself. And that DNA is still in our DNA. We still will do more to avoid what we perceive as dangerous situations than we will achieve things that are pleasurable to us. That's called your what? Your comfort zone. It is your instincts. That's right. To avoid, to fit, to stay inside your comfort zone, right? But we know that it was the, you know, the Neanderthals that went out and planted food and figured out how to plant seeds that were able to really have a better society and have more free time and things like that. So we need to get that, take that step. So we're motivated by pain and the people telling us we can't do it as much as the positive, but I would encourage you to make sure you have a clear picture of that as well, right? So, over time, I've sought out ideas, principles, strategies to overcome life's challenges. I've come across four simple words that make living worthwhile. First off, life is worthwhile if you learn. Not my best Jim Rohn, but it's not bad. So we learn. We're happiest when we're engaged in new pursuits, when we're adding to our knowledge, when we feel like we're accomplishing, when we feel like we're going out there in the world. So keep learning. Another great reason to keep coming back to these events, just like this. Life is worthwhile if you try. Again, getting outside your comfort zone, trying new things, doing new things, getting out to new environments, meeting new people. It makes life worthwhile. Life is worthwhile if you stay. Jumping from business to business to business to business. I'm a pretty loyal guy, I just figured out. And I don't know, why that is exactly. But 21 years of Legal Shield, I'm not going anywhere. There have been ups and downs. I don't think I'm changing my sports teams anytime soon. I got the same friends I've had for 25 years that are out of college. A couple of them did the Legal Shield with us. A couple of them haven't. I don't use whether they're in Legal Shield as a criteria to be a friend with them or not. Right? It perplexes me, but, And look, some of those guys have done very well. One guy makes about $300,000 a year as a freight broker. Right? Another guy went from being in construction to getting an engineering degree and now runs a construction company. That's his thing, man. And why should that? How come you won't use Legal Shield? Whatever. We're still friends. And if you care, of course the old quote is, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Caring for people, caring for their success. And it makes it's perspective, when people say, they can't do something because of a family obligation, I get it. And I'm not going to make them feel bad about that. I might remind them if they keep doing it or if they're really not showing up for no particular reason. I'll remind them what their why was, what they wanted to accomplish in the business, what's possible. But mainly I'm focused on the folks that want it and are willing to do whatever it takes and just want coaching, right? Like, I'm not willing to push them forward, but if they're moving forward, I'm definitely willing to make sure they're staying on the right path. And I think that's what here's the thing too. People want leadership. People desire direction and to feel like there's somebody who's helping them accomplish more. Because we're going to be in a group of accomplishers, right? There aren't a lot of couch sitters sitting around, I have seen people in Legal Shield whose goal was really to do as little as possible. They are out there and they will find their way to this business and they will do something for a little while and it will set up. And I've got a friend who makes thousands of dollars a month and doesn't do anything. It's particularly, he watches TV, I think it's blows my mind, but it's he doesn't have like hobbies. Like, dude, he plays golf, I guess. So, anyway, life is worthwhile if you care. So, questions to ask yourself if you're not achieving your goals: am I doing the right things? Am I doing the right things? Am I saying the right words? Am I engaging in the proper activity? Am I talking to the right people? Right? Am I networking? A lot of the right, am I filling the funnel? How many times is Legal Shield exposure done on my behalf by a team, event, a tool of some sort, right? Am I doing it right? The next question, probably more critical, more important, is am I doing it enough? If everybody said yes, I'd talk to how many people? Okay? How many people am I talking to? You take no and yes out of the equation in terms of prospecting. Am I doing it enough? When I was cruising along pretty good in group marketing, my goal was to be in front of 100 employees a month. If I could be in front of 100 employees, I knew I was going to make executive director between what I wrote and what my team did. So I don't have that goal anymore because, it's amazing how other priorities fill your time when the money fills your bank account. It's amazing. But still, 20, 30 employees a month if I'm in front of that. And more importantly, I'm in front of, 50 to 100 Legal Shield associate prospects a month. Out and about in my community, it's doing some social media stuff. You know, if you put out a, I don't know, provocative is the right word, but, you know, ask for help or do something on social media, and they link, they like, or they comment, that kind of gives you social access to message them. Hey, thanks for the comment. Thanks for the like. Hey, I noticed you said this. Or I'm always mining for, do people ever air their dirty laundry or ask for help on Facebook? Right? So, hey, here's some help. And I'll try to, and this, so there's a bit of a process to it. Number one, you want to get them to the messenger, so you're dealing with them directly. You're not trying to sell the membership or really prospect hard in the open forum type of thing, right? You want to get them over here, and you want to get from there to offline on the phone. Hey, maybe we can talk more. 30 seconds, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. Does that make sense? Same sort of deal. Build a funnel using social media. How long do I keep trying? Well, how long do successful people keep trying? You know, the average millionaire fails 7 times before they find the business that earns them $1 million. Right? This was, I guess this is my 3rd try in the network marketing business, but it's so long ago, I don't think it counts. Right? Phone cards. Yeah, remember those? Yeah. Phone cards back in the day. 3-time winner with the big A. Amway. It's fun. I won because I learned a lot of lessons. I learned a lot about the business, and I understood the network marketing model. After that, you will understand it, right? You just, it's hard to make money out of it, I think. Anything I have to do where I can't tell people what I do, again, I like to be pretty direct. And when you have to go with the 007, I'd tell you, but I have to kill you, come to this thing and meet some people type of thing. I mean, granted, you don't want to go overboard on trying to tell them everything until you can show them everything, but it just wasn't for me. So you ask yourself 2 questions. If I do this, if I decide to do 10 hours a week Legal Shield, if I decide to join that community of people and expose people to Legal Shield, if I decide to join the business networking group, what's the worst that can happen and what's the best that can happen? What if this worked? What if this was right? What if this, you know, led me to where I want to go? So, it's, you know, both questions are fair. Both questions are, you know, are something I think you should ask when you're looking at a new direction. Okay. So focus on the best, though. If you remember, what you focus on expands. All right. So let's get into the 10 core philosophies. Everybody stand up, please. Shake it out. We're halfway through, a little over halfway. Get warmed up. Get that blood pumping a little bit. Moving and grooving. Hip and hopping, rocking, shocking, thinking, never going to do one. My name is Mike B, and you know that I'm not new to this. Do you guys also know I have a rap album? Seriously. MCMikeB.com. 10 years ago. No, 10 years ago. I wish it was only 10 years ago. Okay. You guys can sit down. Yeah, no, I wrote my first song at the age of 16. You know, really it was like kind of half poetry, half rap, just because it was a cool new thing. And we kept writing and writing. And then in college, I found a couple guys that did some music. We did some music together a little bit. You know, the DJ thing was hot and breakdancing, and I can dance and breakdance and stuff like that, and just been part of the hip-hop culture and community. And then about after college, I was not working any real jobs. I was just kind of jobby job. And I thought, you know what, now's the time. I got some time. And I met a guy who had some stuff in his basement, did some with him. Met another guy. We formed a little group, did some non-paying gigs in Portland, paid for a couple of things. And then I wrote a song about, it's a great crowd for this. It's called Put a Hat on That. You guys can figure that out maybe.
Yeah.
What does it mean? How do I put this delicately? pregnancy prevention from the male side. Put a hat on that. Wrap your tallywhack. Anyway, it's pretty fun, gently entertaining. You know, I look at it as a public service announcement. That's what my wife calls it. Right? Doesn't condone or promote. It simply says, if you're gonna, you should take protection. Anyway, so I'd written that song, and finally a buddy of mine moved back from Arizona, one of my good core friends, who has always been in music and whatever, and I'm like, dude, I need to write this. Like, I want to write that with you. So put it together, put it on wax, CD, audio, digital. Anyway, and I found a company that actually puts it out for like $50. They'll put it on all the servers. So you can go to iTunes, you can go to Instagram, or not Instagram, you can go to iTunes, you can go to Amazon Music, things like that, and look up mcmikeb.com. Or Rhythm and News is the name of the album. So I took all my old stuff that had been sitting sitting somewhere, you know, basically put it in digital, had it remastered, had it all put together. I've got CDs and albums. And the MC Mike B just goes to my Facebook page, but on there is the links to where you can buy it online if you want to, or just see the video. I was in San Diego about a year ago, this time June, and my buddy, so I was with my daughter for a basketball tournament, but it was for school, so I was only just watching. And my buddy got me the upgrade for, I ended up with a convertible Camaro in San Diego in June. Nothing better. Except I figured out, I just finished the album, I could play the album through my phone onto the car and record at the same time. So I made three cuts and made videos. In fact, Ryan, who lives in here, who does videos, Ryan Race, he did the video for me. Yeah, he put the production stuff together and all that stuff. Yeah, it took him, you know, a week or whatever just to do it in his spare time. And so, convention. Yeah. Yeah, there's a circle, and a lot of people going, "Wow, I want to be in that." Generally. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm crazy. So, you know, like I said, I go to convention. I'm like, we get paid to do this. This is fun, and what a joy to be in a community of people who are like, man, be yourself, dude. Have some fun. Do something crazy. We don't care. We love you anyway. Right? I mean, when you look at the diversity that's with Legal Shield, it really encourages me. Like, anybody can join our team. Anybody can join this company. No matter where you are in your journey of wealth and health and finances and fun, you can be part of our community. You know? And so, I mean, that really honestly has inspired me and probably one reason why I've stuck with it for so long, because I just love it and I get to be myself. And it may not always be perfect, and people may not like it, but who cares, right? Like, I'm not hurting anybody. You know, I have good intentions. And so, you know, that's why I'm willing to share little things like that, just because what is it for you? You know, I mean, it just goes beyond Legal Shield, right? Like, it goes beyond, like, you can have a job, and you can still, you know, write music or produce something or write a book or, you know, volunteer or raise money for things, all that stuff. But for me, the fact that I have a business that allows me to set my own schedule and do whatever I really truly want is freeing in a way. You know, I mean, there are jobs. I could be a teacher, and if I came up with a rap album, they might have a problem with that. You know, I mean, there are certainly professions where you are limited in how you can express yourself in the world based on that profession. There's no doubt about that. Right? And those are choices that we get to make, but not ones that I wanted to make, okay? So, and you know what? And this is I'm a Virgo, right? So we're always balancing things. No, there are things you can do in Legal Shield where Legal Shield would say, yeah, you know what? That's not really something that we're going to allow to be aligned with our company, too. So I'm not saying that it's, you know, utopia here and everybody gets to be totally free and easy, but certainly as long as you're, again, not hurting people and not putting negative on the company, you're good to go. Right, so yes, I have it. As soon as I fix this knee, I'll be back out there dancing. Okay, so we know the 10 core commitments. We do a pretty good job of training those, although I asked Dave about, should I do 10 core commitments or should I do that other one I just did about what are the language you need in the marketplace, whatever, fill the funnel, and he suggested that other one. So I'm not doing 10 core commitments today. That's available to you. I know we do train on that. I would encourage you to make sure. And just one little thing to do with that is grade yourself on each one of those 10 core commitments, A, B, C, D, or F, right? Grade yourself. How am I doing on 2 a day? How am I doing on attending my weekly meeting? How am I doing on attending the national conventions? How am I doing with a workout partner? How am I doing on reading 10 pages of a good book every day and listening to 15 minutes of a good audio? How am I doing when I start my day, right? How am I doing on plugging in? Grade yourself on those things and be honest. And you're only competing with yourself at that point. Okay, so that's what we do, but as important is how we think, right? Probably even in some ways more important. You know, if you're doing the activities but you don't have the proper way of thinking, attitude about it, those activities are going to wane. You're going to find other things to do with your time. Would you agree? Right? So, these are ones that I put together. Oh, we're going to get good to go with the video here. My guys are not in the back. I'm going to push a button. Nope. A little help. Sorry. Didn't prep that very well. A little more volume, and we're good to go. It's a Mac, so it always works. Here we go. Well, you see it. It's the same thing they're reading. I'm way up. Hold on. You got the wrong volume. Oprah Winfrey. If you haven't failed, you haven't tried. Cool. So I like that video, although it's brand new. They found one back there. I have one that's a little bit different, but all the same people, except for, I think, Lucille Ball was another example that they used. So strong. So, number one, I am responsible. I think I put that number one because I really feel like that is the number one most important part of personal development, is that you take responsibilities for your own choices, for your own actions. Because the opposite to that is, you know, I blame others for where I am in life. Very easy to do. The only way you can do that is to say, I grew up in a situation where my parents were not the best parents possible, and I dealt with a lot of issues. And because of that, I have chosen to be the best parent possible. I take parenting classes. I read parenting books. I make sure that I do the opposite of what, for example, my parents did for me, did to me, whatever. Right? I mean, even that, that's taking responsibility. You can blame them for their poor behavior as to why you have good behavior. But other than that, it's really about, you know, being responsible. Because the easy thing to say was, you know, my dad drank and beat the kids, so you know what? That's why I'm like, that's the way I am. That's why I am the way I am. You know what I mean? Do you think that people do that? Yeah, absolutely. Right? I mean, it's very easy to say, well, that's what my parents did. That's what my teacher did. That's what my students, you know, my fellow classmates did to me. And so that's why I am the way I am. So we take responsibility. We don't blame others. Realize the greatest power and responsibility is in our power of choice. That's where we're at more than anything else. And it's easy to, it happens that, you know, well, I don't make a lot of money because my company doesn't pay me that much. You know, blame the company, right? No, you took that job, right? So there's that. So, okay. I have a positive attitude. Critical, right? To have a good, happy life. And it's easy to get caught up in little negatives. And, you know, we don't have to be perfect. But I think it's important to kind of see when it's important or not. I mean, like, for example, I got a buddy. We go back and forth about basketball. I'm not a huge Lakers fan. And so we have fun. We jive each other, things like that. Some people could say it's negative. You know, I've had people give Facebook counsel in general to say you should never talk any religion. You should never talk any politics. You should never talk, even with the degree like don't talk sports on Facebook, right? Well, because you want to be available to everybody as possible, and they may not like the team that you support, and so far, okay, right? And I'm like, well, all right, that's where I draw the line. If they don't like me because, you know, they're not going to do business with me because, you know, they don't like the Pittsburgh Steelers, then, you know what? That's their problem, right? I can, and it's fun to be in a position where if somebody doesn't want to do business, you can say, great, go do business with somebody else. I don't care, right? It's good to be in that position, but it's kind of things to think about. I think more importantly, it's how you look at a situation. You look at it and what's possible, what this taught you, or you look at it in a negative type situation. But that perception is really the key, I believe, in having a positive attitude, is how do you perceive that potentially negative situation and turn it into a positive situation. My daughter had a little issue in basketball, and that we were pretty excited. The coach put her on the number one club team. I mean, these are kids that are all probably going to college to play basketball. She's going to be a sophomore. She's finishing her freshman year, so she's a little young to play on this team. But she's capable. She's 6'2". So, first game goes, it's a close game, we're down, we never kind of get ahead, you know, which normally we should get guaranteed minutes, got no minutes, didn't play at all. I'm like counseling on the way home, you know, and I certainly try not to overdo it, and if we don't want to talk basketball, that's fine. One time I told her, I'm tired of hearing you be negative about what's going on in sports right now, I don't really want to listen. She didn't quite know how to take that, I think, because usually, you know, I'm always willing to talk about it, but so I'm counseling her, you know, well, it better be on a good team and play a little bit than necessarily. And then we get home, and an hour and a half later, he texts her and says, I decided it's better for you if we put you on the second team and you get more minutes. Right? So, you know, and I've really worked hard with her to have a positive, like, okay, well, what's the good situation in that? Well, now you get to play more. Granted, you may not be having all the Division I coaches looking at you, but probably the Division II coaches are the ones that are going to be looking at that. Plus, you know, you're just a sophomore. So it's okay, right? There's growth. You'll have that opportunity. You'll earn that opportunity. So what could have been me example of lashing out at the coach, of saying it's his fault or that there's a problem somewhere outside of her, we talk about how can you make the best of this situation. Because you chose to be in this program and to play for this coach, knowing that he's not an easy guy to play for, right? You made that choice. Now how are we going to make the best of it, right? And I think that happened. I hope that's something you guys can use in your own life and as you're working with your team as well. You know, isn't it exciting that the company gives us a reboot so that in these situations where perhaps we waited a little too long to get our numbers in, and something didn't happen at the end of the month, to where we now need to use a reboot, for example. Or, you know, other people have fallen out of performance scope completely and got back on it after a year, and what a great story they have to tell of how they fell off, but they stayed with the business, and now they're back in performance club, right? Just got to look at those things in positive ways. I alone in control, my attitude, which is, attitude to me is how you look at something, how you perceive it, how you write the story of that situation. I commit to simple daily disciplines. Habits and results are created through my daily actions, which I alone ultimately control. This is obviously key. I mean, this is, you know, it's the daily activities that are going to create the right, wrong, left or right, up or down of our life. And whether that's your health, whether that's your wealth, whether that's your relationships, you know, what is it for you that you want to work on? What are the, you know, the five pillars? Your spiritual, you know, there's a reason they call it a practice, a spiritual practice, you know. And it's, that's, you know, one reason I think for religion, because it gives you a spiritual practice. If it isn't taught, explained, this is what God has meant to a lot of people, then it's hard for us to engage in that. But if you want to get closer to, you know, to God, then you want to do some things that, you know, daily practices, for example. And same thing with your business. You know, if you want to get closer to some goals, it comes down to daily practices. What am I doing on a daily basis? And what happens is, of course, it creates habits. Okay, so if you feel like you're moving away or you're not hitting goals, there's a good chance your habits are. So, for example, I brought this up last night at the barbecue. Mr. Stonecipher, a few years ago, gave us a bunch of us, I don't know how many, gave out the stopwatches, exactly. And the idea is that every time you are on the phone with a prospect, moving them through the process of exposing Legal Shield, you click the stopwatch. And when you hang up the phone, you click it again. And so the question becomes, what's the number at the end of the day? What's the number at the end of the month? Or at the end of the week? You know, if it's 3 minutes and 48 seconds, I'm going to suggest that may not be a good number. Right? But think about that for your last week. How many minutes were you exposing somebody to the Legal Shield story? Okay? It's just a question. Right? What if 100 people said yes? Right? So, those habits, simple daily disciplines. And you'll notice, too, well, I'll bring it back to Legal Shield. Obviously, it's where we're at, but all this stuff is, in my opinion, very generic. It can work for anything. It can work for your health. It can work on relationships, you know, community. I harness the power of that habit. Okay? It goes back to, how many people have read The Slight Edge? Okay? The white book, look on the back. I'm at the bottom on the cover. Yeah. Yeah. It's Mark Victor Hansen. You know, a bunch of really successful authors and whatever, and it says, the best quotes come from our readers, and I was the one they picked to be the quote on that. It's pretty. So I'm semi-famous or infamous. I'm not sure. All right. So I know that my habits will determine my health, wealth, happiness, and I work to improve those habits. Lord knows my habit was basketball once or twice a week. Knee goes bad. Tried to play on. Well, you know, I'm a guy, right? So I hurt my knee. 2 weeks later, it's hurting, hurting. And finally on Friday, which is basketball day, it doesn't hurt that morning. So I think I should go play basketball today. Right? Yeah, bad mistake. So needless to say, I've gotten out of my health habit. Right? Take responsibility. My fault. I'm going to have to work harder to lose that 15 pounds. Than just keep it off, how I kept it off. I use the power of intention. Again, get back to visualization, get back to being drawn by positive things versus negative things. So I create a strong vision of my life and my successes. This pulls me forward, helps me communicate effectively, and make positive choices. How many people believe in serendipity? I mean, just is the word, right? How many believe in, like, power of the universe, like putting things out there and the secret, right? And it just comes back to you. Well, I think there's a fairly simple term and a reason for that. It's like you pictured something happening, and now when it happens, you've been aware of it because you're picturing it, and you're like, oh, you know what? I thought about that, and I thought that could happen, and now it did, and you're aware of it. And it draws you on that path because it makes you feel like you're really on that right path. So create that power of intention. And I'm going to encourage all of you, make it a 30-day. What is it after 30 days that you want to have done that either you've never done before or that you've done and fallen off from? You know, maybe it's a new goal. This month I see myself with 3 new associates on my team. I am out in the market constantly, consistently, getting to know people, asking them if they're open, and sharing with them who we are and what we do. People are showing up in my life on a regular basis that are looking for what I have to offer. And I am now proudly leveling up these 3 people after I've recruited them during the month of July. Right? So you take the goal, but you write it back down in like terms of here's what's happening on a regular basis. Here's what I see happening on a daily basis. You start putting that stuff into play, into power, it's amazing what can happen with that. I show up. I know there's no substitute for work. I harness the power of like minds engaged in a common cause. And I am present. Again, the power of the congregation, of the association, right? Hard to have a practice without other people to practice with. Possible, but much easier if you're in a group of people. And so showing up to events, showing up for your workout partner, showing up on the conference calls, showing up on those things will lead you to that direction. You know, every market, I think, has a story of somebody who just kind of showed up, wasn't doing much, hanging out, modest membership here or there. All of a sudden, something clicked. Kids went off to college. It was some sort of outside focus, or sometimes it was just an inside focus. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm enjoying the coming to these things, but I'm going to keep coming to these things. I'm going to start bringing people, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get people here. Right? So, but you keep showing up, it'll kick in. And being present at those things as well. I focus on progress. I know I must grow. Again, that's one of the laws of happiness, in my opinion. Ooh, that could be a good book. The laws of happiness, right? Growing. Not being too hard on yourself. Not trying to be perfect, right? But improving, I think, is important. Progress over perfection, right? I think that's a great little term, progress over perfection. If you feel like, I blew that, I should have done something different or whatever, write that down, progress over perfection. It's okay to learn. I remember I took out my sponsor in Amway, tried to show him the membership. He didn't think that, the quality of the attorneys were going to be good. I know if I have my health insurance and I get brain surgery, I'm going to get a brain surgeon. How do I know I'm going to get a Legal Shield? Or that your prepaid legal attorney is going to be that high quality? And I said, you're the 4th person I talked to. I don't know the answer. Well, I should quit. No. Went to my briefing, asked the speaker. He gave me the answer. I went back to the guy. He never got a plan, but I didn't care. I knew the answer next time. Right? So because progress. Not about being perfect, not about knowing everything. John L. Self says, and has been said before, you don't have to be great to start. You have to start to be great. So there's the progress, okay? I'm engaged in the process, and I measure my results. Again, very important, not always easy. What are my results this month? Well, I didn't market a membership, and I didn't recruit anybody. Okay. What would be the next question? What were your activities? Well, I didn't really talk to anybody. Right? Now, if that's happened, you're like, I talked to 18 people. That's not a matter of enough. That's a matter of doing it right. Reevaluate. But only by measuring your results can you determine if your activities are supporting the proper outcome. Right? And I know this stuff seems simple, but I hope you take 20, 30 minutes at some point tonight or tomorrow morning and really sit down and just write some stuff out, just stream of consciousness, and just write some I am statements and then work them back. I contribute. I engage in activities which help the greater good, my family, my friends, and my community. How great is that? Again, you can do that without Legal Shield. But how great is it when Legal Shield helps you concentrate on contribution, right? And be an example, you know. And I picture, you know, Mr. Stonecipher's vision going further to where, you know, the leaders in communities and the givers and the community, you know, and the committee people and the volunteers, there's a Legal Shield person throughout, all over the place, you know. Legal Shield people all over that are doing things and showing up in the community. I mean, you know, because look, you know, successful real estate agents like to do that, right? Successful insurance agents like to do that, right? Let's be that in our communities. It doesn't always take money. It's not always treasure. Many times it's time and talent, right? That's why I like doing the MC thing and the auctioneer thing. I mean, you know, it's not about being a $1,000 sponsor someplace. For that example, Serendipity School, my neighbor said, hey, these folks need an MC. And I'm like, I'll be a happy MC. Can I show you what I do? Of course you can. They've got 120 employees at the school that helps kids with autism and different spectrum disorders. And believe it or not, the school district doesn't support their financial needs quite enough since they've got 1.5 teachers for every one student. So IA, you get to be the auctioneer for their big event, and B, set up their legal plan for their employees and offer it as a voluntary employee benefit. Not that I was gonna, you know, wasn't gonna do it anyway, but just going out in your community and being that person, it's amazing what can open up to you if you give first. And givers, you know, givers gain, according to the Business Networking International guy, and it's very, very true. So, contribute. Find ways to contribute. It will make you happier, healthier. It'll draw people to you, help your business. But that's really a sideline of just doing that because you can. And understand, you know, we're unique here with this business, and that we're encourage people to grow. I'm not sure there are like warehouse jobs or trucking jobs or you know, a lot of jobs out there that really encourage their people to grow. Frankly, you know, there are managers who would like to keep you where you are because the only place you can go is take their job. Right? Not here. We encourage growth. Well, take my position. Market more memberships than me. Recruit more people than me. Go. It's not a zero-sum game. We all can win together. That's the phrase I use for our state is we all win together. That's our quote. So, I accept abundance. There is no shortage of friends, of money, of positive experiences. True or true? There's no shortage. Are there more millionaires or less millionaires in the United States every single day? Are there more billionaires or less billionaires in the world every single month, every single year? More. So don't tell me there's a shortage of money. There is no shortage of money. There is plenty of money around. Right? It's a matter of using it wisely, and it's a matter of putting yourself in a position to where you're using the model to help create abundance for you. Okay? So I'm smart with my resources. I'm not wasteful. There will be an exciting time in your business when you realize that all those things I couldn't spend money on, now I can. And there will be another exciting time when you realize I don't have to. There's some other places I need to use my money first. Right? It's an exciting time. I don't know if you guys have been mentored by Larry Smith, but there's a guy that's figured out how to put his assets in the right place. And as Caitlin Blanchard talked about, it's pretty amazing when you're around millionaires and they're bragging about how small a percentage of wealth of their income they live on, and they're living really, really well. He said that is a different mindset than the kids I went to college with, right? And, you know, some of the kids out there today. So what percentage of income are you living on, right? And when you start focusing on abundance and having more, because anybody ever heard of money problems? Yeah, no such thing. No such thing as money problems. There is a lack of money problem. That's a problem. But money solves problems. Now, there are real problems. Like, you know, there's situations that money solves that. Problems, you know, health issues, those things. Those are issues, right? Those are problems that money can't necessarily solve. Although I would put out there that if you have resources, you might have a little different care than folks that don't, right? And here's the last thing on this. I firmly believe you can be more generous when you have more money. Generous with your time, generous with your finances. So really, I feel like I owe it to my family, my community, to make as much money as possible because then I can help more people. Right? Plus, we help the government run with our taxes, and we know we all love paying that. Last one. What's yours? What's your 10 core commitment? What do you, how do you fill in this blank? What's your philosophy? 10 core, did I tell you? What's your 10th philosophy? What do you live by? What's your phrase that pays? One of mine is, I'll give you guys a few ideas. I work as hard for myself as I would for somebody else. Right? Now, I'm not sure I accomplish that on a daily basis. In fact, I'm quite sure I don't accomplish that on a daily basis. However, at some point, you've got to say, hey, listen, if I'm willing to give my boss my job 40, 60 hours of my time, why shouldn't I give my business 10 to 15 honest work? Right? Time is our most precious asset. There's another great one. I think big. What are some of yours here? And I know I'm going 5 minutes long, but please forgive. Anybody with their own sort of philosophy of life, a phrase that they'd like to use, a motto, if you will?
Get her done.
Get her done. I like it. That sounds good. It's both funny and it's action. Yes, sir. All right. Anybody else? Yes. Right. So just that whole idea that if bad things happen, how are we going to deal with it? And probably worse for somebody else. Yeah, right. Hip hop, rap? No? Oh, okay. There you go. So I encourage you, put some of those up on your bulletin board, put some up in your car, and now I'm going to ask you to put your pens down, put your books down, stand up. And repeat after me. Money flows to me. I'm a money magnet. I'm a great recruiter. I am a leader and inspire people. I attract quality people. I will help people reach success. I will reach my goals. I will reach my goals. I will reach my goals. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Give it up again for Mr. Mike Bishop. It's always nice to have other networking vice presidents come into town because they see what's going on in their market and other markets while they travel. And when they come here, they can give all kinds of good tips and things to help us grow our market. Let me make sure everyone can hear me okay. All right. And Mike's one of my favorite guys to hang out with. He invited me to come up there. I'll be up there in a couple of weeks working with his market and helping him also. And it's not just the business department, it's friends. And we don't have any financial invested interest in each other, but we just love hanging out with each other. And so I really appreciate the fact that he came up here to Utah to help us out when, you know, he's building team here, but his team isn't huge here. So really, it's just out of kindness and friendship that he makes the trip up here. And I know it's the summertime. We've got a lot of distractions, trust me. This last month, 3 out of the 4 weeks, I was on vacation. And I'm literally leaving today on vacation. Like, as soon as we're done here, I'm out of here for another 8 days on vacation. And that's a good place to be. When you get money out of the way, you realize that your kids grow up fast. And my son just got home a week ago yesterday from a mission, and he's going to be leaving in a month for school. And we realized, man, we need to create as many memories as we can while we got these few windows of all the kids still together. So we have booked ourselves aggressively with doing a lot of fun things. And that's dramatically different from my childhood growing up. Because vacation was going to grandma's house and sleeping on the floor. And that ain't vacation in my house. We don't put my kids through that. We go do fun things, real fun things. But it's because We worked hard for a few years to get money out of the way. George will remember this. Remember when Pete Cuenco was the MVP? Many, many, many moons ago. Good guy, really good guy, Pete Cuenco, was trying to figure out how to run the state. And here's what happened. As soon as summertime came and kids got out of school, what was the announcement?
We're going to close down for the summer.
We're closing down the business for the summer. The summer's here. Nobody works during the summertime. We'll let you know in the fall when we're going to start back up our business. Now, I had just gone full-time in the business. I just made a commitment to go full-time. This was my job, and he just shut it down. And I was like, oh, crap. Where are my people going to get trained? You're not going to do something for another 3 months in the summertime? And I understand, crowds get lighter in the summer because people are traveling. People are gone. People do a lot of things. There's a lot of distractions. But here's what happened. He canceled it, and I just found events out of the state, and I doubled down my efforts and took them there. And so we went to Southern California for trainees. We went out of state to go get trained when he shut down. Here's what happened over the next year. His income went down, and my income skyrocketed. Because when everyone else was, oh, it's hard, it's summer, I'm distracted, they got things that created excuses in their lives, and just said, look, we're going to work so that we can harvest in the fall. Right now, with all the money they put on the table, all the bonuses, all the expense paid vacations, the extra percentages that you get for what you do in the next few months, the multipliers, now's the time to double down. Let me just be quite frank with you guys financially. For the people here today, ticket sales were barely enough to cover Mike's airfare to get here. Not hotel, not food, not four-wheeling, not renting this room for the day. This event is a huge negative cash flow. But guess what we're doing next week, next month? I'm doubling down, and I'm bringing in two people, two airfare, two meals and stuff, two bus people. Because here's what I know. When everyone else starts to go, oh, busy, I'm distracted and stuff like that, I'm like Warren Buffett. When the stocks start to go down and everyone's like, oh, the stock market's dropping, what's Warren Buffett doing? Buy, 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 buy. I know that what happens in the fall is people get back into a routine. Kids are back in school. Vacations are over. They get back to focused. Now, those who worked through the summertime start to harvest in the fall. Those who are starting to till the soil in the fall find out it's a little bit late to harvest in the fall, winter starts to come. So I'm doubling down on what we have next month. The presenters we have coming next month are right now in Puerto Rico on stage at TNV's huge team event. Well-published author and his wife have trained at the conventions, at the national conventions, Millionaire Club members. Let me see. I don't know which slide is the Millionaire Club members, and boom, $100,000 ring. Mikkel Mecki and his wife, both of them. So we're bringing out two people to train you guys, two people to hang out with us and have fun events. You're going to want to mark down, did we put the date? August 4th, good. August 4th up there. We also have August 3rd, is that correct? The volleyball. We are having a volleyball tournament against the law firm. So we're going to not only have a big barbecue Friday night, hopefully we have some people that Mike, oh wait, you got a bum wing. Never mind. We need some tall people. Can you guys recruit some tall people? There we go. And 6-inch stilettos, you'll work. We're taking on the law firm in a volleyball tournament, so we need some good participation. People show up ready to you know, stick it to the law firm. So we have bragging rights for a year. Here's the other cool thing about this. When you come out to the barbecue Friday night, you get to meet the lawyers. You get to meet the people that go to work for us and do the work. If you have associates on your team, you want them there. If you have guests, you want them there. When you hang out with the law firm and you get to know them on a first name basis, your friendship, your belief, your knowledge, just like what Doug shared. Doug said, man, I've used this thing so many times and I'm a law-abiding citizen. I mean, you would never look at Doug and say, man, looks like you kind of need an attorney. You just wouldn't. But he says, man, I've used this so much that he knows the attorneys on a first name basis there. Now you get to break bread with them. You get to create a friendship. You get to sit around and have a dinner with them and tell stories and talk to them and get to know them. Now your friendship and belief in them just goes sky high. Now telling people about how wonderful these people are that represent us never feels like a sales job. It feels like you're excited to tell people about what we have. What do you think that's going to do to your recruiting efforts? What do you think that's going to do to your team? You guys, here's the thing. How many people on your team are going to be at that event? I can tell you this much. Doug and Patty were the top recruiters last month because they attended the Super Saturday with Randy Wells. True, Doug? Has that not made a big difference in your business? Yeah, saw the information. Randy Wells has been helping him. I've been doing three-way phone calls with him. You won't believe what's coming down the pipe for them because of that friendship with Randy Wells. Doug's flown down to Texas to go out and sign up companies that are doing huge things for him. New associates, everything. One person can make the difference. But what if you miss that one thing? What if you miss that barbecue? What if that friendship doesn't cultivate that could all of a sudden turn into a superstar on your team? That's why it's important. Never miss an event. Obviously, you guys are going to be there at that event. That's a no-brainer. If you say, hey, look, I want people on my team to be there, you can have them pay $25 at the door because that's what tickets will be at the door. Or $20 you can take care of yourself, or you can grab another ticket for $30. So two for $30. If you don't, they're going to pay $25 when they get here. There's a higher probability of that second person coming if you say, I picked a ticket up for you. Versus, hey, if you want to come to the event, it's $25 at the door. When you already have a ticket for them, and a friend calls me and says, hey, Dave, we're going to the movies, and I grabbed you a ticket because I knew you'd want to see this. I'm like, oh, man, you already got my ticket. I probably should be there with you. And I go. For those of you that want to bring a whole carload of people, we're going to give you 5 tickets for $60. Every time I went to an event, I always came with extra tickets because I'd walk out of that event and go, who else is coming with me? And when I pick up the phone and call them and personally say, you won't believe who's coming. We've got one of the top leaders in the company, and I grabbed you a ticket because they were reduced prices. Here, I knew you couldn't make it. I knew you were working on Saturday, but I knew you didn't want to miss this. So I grabbed you a ticket. All of a sudden, they're like, thank you so much for thinking of me. Yeah, I'll be there. And you get people commit there. One person showing up at an event could change your entire business. The more people you have at this event makes it easier to qualify for the trips, easier to get the bonuses. Everything multiplies when you take action. But you're the catalyst. You're the spark in the powder keg. Everything trickles down from the decisions that you make on a daily basis in this business. I look forward to seeing you at the barbecue. Thank you all. Have a great day.